Hey there, thanks for tuning in to the Embodied Astrology Podcast. I'm Renee Sills, consulting astrologer, embodiment educator, and your host. Embodied Astrology is much more than a podcast. We are a thriving virtual community offering regular weekly and monthly classes, study groups, and more, exploring the intersections of astrology, creativity, arts, healing, and social change. Aries season has arrived, the astrological new year has begun, and we are headed into eclipse season and a Mercury retrograde. At this point in 2024, things are really starting to heat up, and as we look towards what's forecasted to be another hottest year on record, I'm guessing that many of you are ready for the kinds of changes that are bigger than what you can accomplish on your own, and you might be looking for ways to join forces with others who want to create futures on Earth that are vibrant, creative, and courageously committed to visions of reciprocity, reparation, and recalibration of values and power. At Embodied Astrology, we've been preparing to meet this moment. Beginning the weekend of March 23rd, we're launching a year of experimental programming that's geared towards shaping strategies for the future and crafting containers for new experiences of what community can feel like. Join us for a journey of experiential astrology, where you'll deepen your understanding of chart reading, symbolism, intuition, and divination, and work with astrology to support your artistic and creative practices, navigate through conflict transformation and repair, reawaken your relationships to Earth and the cosmos, and take part in exciting and inspiring conversations with astrologers, artists, activists, and others working in the intersections of mysticism and social change. Follow the link in the show notes or visit embodiedastrology.com to learn more. Now, your horoscopes. You're about to listen to your Aries season ahead reading, which is an excerpt from my 2024 year ahead readings. The 2024 readings are deep dives into the major themes and influences of the year for your sun, moon, and rising signs. They offer an abundance of information and support to help you make the most of what this year is bringing. You can download your full-length reading today from the link in the show notes or find them in the horoscope section at embodiedastrology.com. Aries season, March 19th through April 19th, Cancer, this is when the heat gets turned up. So Aries, like Pisces, holds a very prominent place in your chart. Now, in Pisces season, I was talking about your fellow water element friend, Pisces and Cancer, both of the water family. But as we get into Aries season, we are getting into a fire season. We're also getting into eclipse season, and we're getting into a relationship that is a very activating relationship between Aries and Cancer. Aries and Cancer are both what are considered to be cardinal signs. They begin seasons in the four-season model. They are both initiatory, catalyzing energies, but Aries as a fire sign moves up and out. It moves into the head, into the sense of self, and out into the world as action. Cancer as a water sign moves down and in. The cardinal initiative of Cancer is to bond and connect and create safety here on Earth and in our relationships. So Aries as an energetic differentiates, while Cancer as an energetic includes. There is a natural tension between Aries and Cancer that is highly productive and totally necessary. As bodies, as beings who live in bodies, we are different, right? We need to differentiate to some extent from one another in order for us to do anything at all. It's like you gotta separate to some extent in order to do anything at all. And we're also different. And when people are really supported to be different, to feel into their strengths, to work skillfully with their challenges, to realize themselves creatively and to self-actualize, people are generally a lot better at relating. And one of the biggest pitfalls to brilliant relationships is when people try to control each other and make one another more like them. This completely flattens out creativity. It reduces attraction and leads to a lot of suppression, oppression, anger, frustration, resentment, etc. So as a Cancer-identified person, I'm reading for you right now, I'm going to say that Aries energy is a challenge and a necessity. And so Cancers have to learn to differentiate so that they can be good at the thing that they want to do, which is bond and include. And in order to have safe, secure, loving, trustworthy relationships, we need to be able to differentiate. And that means sometimes that we need to fight. We need to be able to navigate rupture and repair. We need to be able to hold each other in our differences, to appreciate where our differences may not always agree or line up, but inside of our differences also to find ways of creatively aligning in order to work skillfully together. Cancer knows something about this. So as cardinal siblings, Cancer and Aries are working together, even if sometimes it feels like they work at cross purposes. But I think that the energy or archetypal imprint that Cancer has of a parenting energy actually really supports healthy individuation. And, you know, if we think into like wonderful parenting energy, which certainly not everybody gets to experience, but in my mind, when I think about wonderful parenting energy, I think about energy that can really appreciate the unique expression of an individual while also helping that individual be accountable to where they are and who's around them. And wonderful parents, right, see their children for who they are. They don't try and make their children into little mini-me's. They encourage their child's individuation and differentiation while they also really encourage their children to take care of their environments, to clean up after themselves, to apologize when they've harmed someone, to be able to communicate their needs skillfully, etc. There is an aspect of this right now, Cancer, that you need to do for yourself. And the feeling that I have as we move into Aries season and eclipse season is that you need to be a great parent to yourself. And this might mean that you need to reparent yourself. If you're, you know, like me, if you're somebody that didn't always experience like the best parenting and you have some family patterns deeply lodged in there where it's like you start to differentiate and then you go into an anxiety spiral and get worried that, you know, you're going to be abandoned or something like that, then this is an opportunity to do that inner work that I've been talking with you about and that I talk so much about in your overview that has to do with what happens for you when power is on the table. Aries season is asking you to pick up your power in a very significant way. And this could mean conflict or potential for conflict. This could mean that other people are scared of your power or that you are scared of your power. And that one of the possible outcomes of you embodying or empowering in some new ways could mean that you got to get into it or that you have to face some significant fears. And when you can hold yourself like a wonderful parent would and help yourself feel into your growing strengths, right, then this is like that inner voice that says, it's okay that you don't know how to do this. It's okay if you mess up. You're learning. Try it again, babe. Let's look at what we did before. Let's see where it didn't work. You know, do we need to clean up an ouchie? Is there an apology that needs to be made? Here's how to make a good apology. Here's how we learn from the past so that we can show up again for the future. I feel like some of you really need to be doing that with yourself in Aries season, especially when it comes to doing what's new. And especially when it comes to putting yourself out there in ways that require your courage and your bravery and that might put you in the hot seat sometimes. And so if you end up over the course of Aries season in the hot seat, and that means you're peopling, right? Like you're in your humanity, you're trying something, you might be asserting yourself in ways that didn't work for somebody or that didn't even work for you. You have to meet yourself as a great parent. You have to care for yourself first and foremost, right? Like if you feel insecure, if you feel upset, you have to validate your own feelings and then remind yourself that feelings aren't facts. You have to give yourself time and space to feel your feelings. Great parents allow their kids to cry if their kids need to cry. It's like, it's okay. That really hurt, didn't it? Let's just stay there and validate the feeling for a while. You feel hurt. It's okay to feel hurt. Then we got to get into, okay, what happened? What was your responsibility in this? What would you like to do different next time? Then we have to try it again, and that requires even more bravery. So, Aries season, be your own best parent. Astrology, like many things in our world, is a system that has been shaped and distorted by patriarchy, white supremacy, and colonial imperialism. But we're lucky to be alive at a time when this language is evolving rapidly and providing healing, insight, and support for so many people. Astro's current revolution is due to the scholarship and praxis of philosophers, mystics, and oracles who pushed and continue to push against the way things have been written, orienting instead to radical, queer, and creative potentials of this craft. Embodied astrology is firmly rooted in a lineage of evolutionary expansion and ancestral repair. Our teaching team and community center queer and diverse approaches to working with symbolism and engaging astral mechanics and magic. If this sounds like something you're looking for, we hope that you'll join us for the launch of our new program the weekend of March 23rd and 24th. We start on Saturday, March 23rd, with a council session led by Sherry Taylor on the Femme Faces of Saturn. Sherry is a clinical psychologist, death doula, grief mentor, and practitioner of planetary allyship. This is her second year teaching with embodied astrology, and she's continuing in 2024 to deepen with the mystery school of Saturn's transit in Pisces. This special session sets the tone for a devotional cycle with Saturn and mythic mysteries of bone mothers and tenders of time. Drop in once and receive an initiation into your own practice, along with a workbook full of prompts and exercises. Or sign up for the whole series and commit to a journey that will reshape your understanding of how to work with this important energy of obstacles and integration. Sunday, March 24th, Embodied Astrology is delighted to welcome back acclaimed author, playwright, and artist astrologer Junauda Petrus for her third year teaching with us. In 2024, by popular demand, Junauda will be expanding her artistic alchemy offerings from quarterly workshops to a monthly series. Join us every month near the full moon for a sweet and soulful gathering where we'll work with the transiting lunar solar axis in our charts and in our hearts. We'll reflect on how we show up for ourselves, our creative devotions, and the realities of surviving in a world that is filled with both beauty and uncertainty. In these sessions, we'll practice staying grounded with the rhythms of astrology and spirit, channeling the wisdom of cosmic alignment, and opening to celestial guidance from ancestors as support for balancing creative life in the real world. You can always drop in to one of Junauda's monthly gatherings or sign up for the whole year and get access to a virtual communion space where you can connect with other creatively minded seekers. All of our offerings are recorded for those who can't attend live. Embodied Astrology is committed to financial accessibility. You can find scholarship codes right on our checkout pages for sliding scale, and you can always write to us for more support if finances are a barrier. Click the link in our show notes or head to embodiedastrology.com to learn more and sign up. As soon as we get into Aries season, we are in eclipse energy. Mercury has already entered the sign of Aries before we even get into Aries season. And the day before Aries season begins, Mercury will form a conjunction with the North Node. The North Node is an eclipse point. The following day, or I think actually two days later, the Sun forms a sextile to Pluto. And then on March 25th, we have our first eclipse. And this is an eclipse at 5 degrees of Libra. It's a lunar eclipse. This eclipse is a big one for you because it is resonating between the heaven and earth of your chart, between the highest point and the lowest point. Up at the highest point, we have Aries. This is you being out there in the world, you being public, visible. The 10th house is a space of career, vocation, path, and purpose. Libra, where the moon will be on the 25th, where the eclipse is happening, holds your solar fourth house. The fourth house relates to the fourth sign, which is Cancer. In the fourth house, we have home, family, foundation, and the internal private sphere, the place of nourishment and rest that then allows you to go out into the public sphere. So some basic themes for Aries season and for eclipse season that are coming in for me have to do with parenting and reparenting and how you give yourself time and space to have a process that involves you necessarily putting yourself out in new and risky ways. The North Node moving through your 10th house has been an energy that you've already been working with in the last year, but this year there are some significant amplifications of this energy, including a Mercury retrograde in Aries that will begin on April 4th. But as we get into Aries season, we're already in the shadow of the retrograde in the period of time that is giving us a little bit of foreshadowing of some of the themes where Mercury is moving direct over the area of sky that it will retrograde with. March 25th, the solar eclipse in Libra is an eclipse that is bringing us into awareness of the ways that we have been educated and taught, particularly to be in relationships. This is a powerful eclipse for doing work of restructuring and reintegrating around your family dynamics and patterns. Historic circumstances, when you think back, your early models of relationship, parents, caregivers, extended family, what you saw in media, etc., your first and, you know, formative, intimate relationships, any long and formative, deeply shaping intimate relationships that you've been in, this is an eclipse that is bringing a lot of themes forward. And because one of the major themes for your year is about transformation and working with your own personal power when it comes to relationships, this eclipse is definitely pulling a lot of focus to your first modeling of relationships. And it is asking for a recognition of how some of these patterns got set in place. And it is really resounding with the need for new stories. Language is an important element of this entire eclipse season, and how stories get told and how ideas get implemented and cemented into our psyches, we really want to pay attention to. So you can use this eclipse as a point of meditation for reflecting on your early foundational experiences in relationship. Think about also issues that connect with you to the words justice, fairness, equity, equality, balance. What do those words evoke for you? And how did you learn to be in relationship with them? A lot of us have, I'm going to say, dysfunctional patterning around some of these words and concepts. So if you, like me, live in a place where the justice system is deeply unjust and where there's a long lineage of injustice institutionalized in a justice system, then the word itself might feel really fraught to you. that needs some unpacking, because inside of relationships, justice is something that I think a lot of people want, or accountability, or repair. You know, there are other words that might be more appropriate and illustrative of the sentiment that is actually wanted here. But these are key words for Libra. And these are words that, again, are resounding in a place of your chart that have to do with early patterning, particularly around relationships. Now, as we move into the month of April, we are moving into Mercury retrograde. So Mercury stations retrograde on April 1st at 27 degrees of Aries. It will station direct on April 25th at 15 degrees of Aries. If your Cancer placements are between 15 and 27 degrees of Aries, definitely take note, because this retrograde is going to be squaring those placements and bringing extra charge into them. We also had the eclipse at 5 degrees of Libra, and then we'll have another solar eclipse at 19 Aries. And so those are also degree points to pay attention to if your Cancer placements or other placements are near those degree points. Take note of what those placements are calling your attention towards. Okay, lots of opportunities to learn astrology. If it's not a language you always speak, I will just say again that I'll be teaching your chart as a body throughout 2024. We have once a month meetings, and that is a process, practice, and approach to astrology that will allow you to learn, you know, how planets, signs, houses, aspects all work together, but through your body and through an experiential engagement rather than needing to memorize. Okay, so Mercury is retrograde for the majority of April, and we are also in eclipse season and in the window between eclipses between March 25th and April 8th. There's an enormous amount of activation in Aries, this Aries season in 2024. And as I've mentioned now a few times, Aries holds a position of prominence in your chart that has to do with being the most visible place, being a place where you are putting yourself out there. And what does that mean for you in your life? What are you exhibiting? Where and how are you becoming more visible? Now, Aries as an archetypal energy relates with warriorship, and there is a strong need for a redefinition, a reimagination of what warriors can look like or act like. And the solar eclipse on April 8th is asking us to pay attention to the ways that warriorship or heroism have been really, I would say, degraded and malfunctioning in terms of a collective imagination for quite some time, especially because of things like toxic masculinity or toxic individualism. I'm not sure if they're that different. I think they're part of the same vibe. But a kind of orientation towards ways of being that are hostile and aggressive and controlling with others, and that have people thinking that somehow they're going to succeed and become very powerful and strong somehow alone, outside of relationship, outside of reciprocity and communal support. And on the April 8th eclipse, I think that we might, on a collective level, be witness to, you know, more events, as we have already been witness to for a long time, of toxic masculinity, toxic individualism, toxic heroism in our world. And this could look like shootings. It could look like violence. It could look like gross displays of machismo. It basically looks like human beings separating themselves from life and from creation and asserting their dominion and control. This is a solar eclipse and new moon in Aries that is asking us to consciously transform the intergenerational wound patterns of separation and exclusion. Whether we ourselves have experienced exclusion and felt outcast and isolated, or whether we have promoted and perpetuated those ways of being in the world, this is the time to pay attention to the residue and the imprint of those experiences, those mind states and delusions that would lead us to behaviors that continue to move along these tracks. In your year ahead overview, I talked a lot about the importance of inclusion and the spiritual path of inclusion that I think Cancerians are leading the way on right now. Post-eclipse, as we get into the end of Aries season, and especially the couple of days after the eclipse around April 10th, this is such a powerful time for you to offer a possibility modeling, role modeling for us. Show us what it looks like to do the work of transforming relationship, especially when power is on the table. I think it's Cornel West who said, justice is what love looks like in public. What does the word justice evoke for you? What does the word love evoke for you? What does love look like in public? Not romantic love, but the love of life, the transcendent and kind of pure state of love that many people experience when they think about God or divinity. What does that look like in public, as part of public life, as part of a public offering? And this is where I really want to encourage you to be your own best parent, because sometimes what love looks like in public is a public accountability and capacity to apologize. Sometimes what love looks like in public is the willingness to humble oneself and admit to where they messed up. It doesn't have to be all guts and glory. It doesn't have to be bravado and machismo. It doesn't have to be you somehow leading the way in this really forceful, courageous, heroic way. What this might look like is you holding space for something that's distinctly human to be happening in public. And this would be an amazing transformation and alternative to what many of us are given most of the time, which is that people in positions of leadership are unwilling to show us their humanity. And they are partially unwilling because it's terrifying, right? And they might be eaten alive by a public that wants some kind of fantastical version of what humans should be. But I think that more and more, there is a lot of response and a lot of respect to people who can be in intimacy with their own vulnerability in ways that are conscious and caring. And that means honesty, transparency, willingness to be accountable, to engage with repair process, and to be in some kind of process in public, not having an answer, not necessarily having a fix, but being willing to be in the process. My feeling for you, Cancer, is that Aries season is asking you to be in the process in public in some way. And that this requires an immense amount of courage and also love. It requires you to settle into the faith that you have in your spiritual body, in your subtle awareness that you are part of something larger, and to really invest yourself in the evolution and the transformation of what that something is, and to bring yourself almost as a sacrament, right? To sacrifice is to make sacred. We can sacrifice our hubris, right? We can sacrifice our pride. We can sacrifice our need to be right. And in that sacrifice, we make something sacred. sacred space can then get cultivated. And inside of sacred space, so much healing is potential. Thanks so much for tuning in with Embodied Astrology. This work wouldn't exist without a team. Big thanks to Alicia Mauji, Joe Stewart, Ash Good, Ariana Sears-Putowski, and Gabs404 for making it all happen with me, Renee Sills. As Pluto moves into Aquarius, one of the main things to remember is that teamwork makes our dreams work. In the spirit of community and collaboration, Embodied Astrology is in an active transition to becoming a collective multi-voice platform. This year, I've invited four facilitators with whom I've been working for the last several years to join me as core faculty in co-visioning and co-creating an exciting, innovative, and totally unique astrological studies program. Sherry Taylor, Junata Petrus, Ramon Parrish, Gabs404, and I are interested in how astrology can assist us in realizing embodied healing, radical imagination, and creative collective liberation. We're inviting you to join us in our explorations in small or big ways. Our full program will be an immersive and life-transforming experience that takes place over the course of 16 months. And most of our offerings also have opportunities to drop in for one or just a few sessions. For more information and to sign up, check the link in the show notes or visit embodiedastrology.com.